The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on November 19, 1995 at Murari Sevak Farm in Mulberry, Tennessee. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ansha Lila, Chapter 20, Verse 16 through 28, and continues with a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 2, Text 35.
Performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. Krishna prema udgama prema amrita sadhan Krishna prapti seva amrita samudre majjana. The result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna and tastes transcendental bliss. Ultimately, one attains the association of Krishna and engages in his loving devotional service, as if immersing himself in a great ocean of love. Utilo bishadhaino puryapan slok jahartu suni sabo jai tuku sok. Lamentation and humility awoke within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He began reciting another of his own verses. By hearing the meaning of that verse, one can forget all unhappiness and lamentation.
Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis tartrar pita niyamita smaranena kala etadrisita bhakripa bhagavan mamapi durthaivam iti drisam.
My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity. And therefore you have many names, such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen conditioned souls by liberally teaching your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve the attachment for chanting.
Onek loke bancha, onek prokar, kripa te korilo aneka namera prochar.
Because people vary in their desires, you have distributed various holy names by your mercy.
Kaite suite jatha tata namaloi, kaldesh niyam nahi sarvusid bihoi.
Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name even while eating or sleeping attains all perfection.
Sarva shakti name, dila koriya vibhag. Amar durdhaiva name nahi anurag.
You have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names.
Jai rupe loile nam prema upajoy taharlokan sunno sarupa ramarai.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O Sarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Raya, hear for me the symptoms of how one should chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to awaken very easily one's dormant love for Krishna.
Trinada pisuni chena tadoriva suhishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahuri.
One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree,
and who does not expect personal honor but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord.
Uttam hayaponake mane trinatham dui prakare sahishnuta kore brikkasam.
These are the symptoms of one who chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although he is very exalted, he thinks himself lower than the grass on the ground. And like a tree, he tolerates everything in two ways.
Brikho jano koti leho kichu na bolai. Sukaya moi leho kare pani na magoi.
When a tree is cut down, it does not protest, and even when drying up, it does not ask anyone for water.
Jai jai mago ye tare deya pondhan, dharma vrishti sohe ane kora ye rakhan.
The tree delivers its fruits, flowers, and whatever it possesses to anyone and everyone. It tolerates scorching heat and torrents of rain, yet it still gives shelter to others.
Uttam hoya vaishnav habe nira abhiman jive saman dive ajani krishna adishtan.
Although Vaishnava is the most exalted devotee, he is prideless and gives all respect to everyone, knowing everyone to be the resting place of Krishna.
Ei mato hoya jai krishna namaloi Shri Krishna Charane Tar Prema Upajoy.
If one chants the holy name of Lord Krishna in this manner, he will certainly awaken his dormant love for Krishna's lotus feet.
Kohite kohite prabhur dhaino barila Suddho bhakti Krishna thai magite lagila.
As Lord Chaitanya spoke in this way, his humility increased and he began praying to Krishna that he could discharge pure devotional service.
Premera swabhav jaha premera sambandha se mane Krishna mor nahi prema gandha.
Whenever there is a relationship of love of Godhead, its natural symptom is that the devotee does not think himself a devotee. Instead, he always thinks that he has not even a drop of love for Krishna.
Report, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments
that persons who are actually very poor because they possess not even a drop of love of Godhead or pure devotional service falsely advertise themselves as great devotees. Although they cannot at any time relish the transcendental bliss of devotional service. A class of so-called devotees known as Prakrita Sahajiyas sometimes display devotional symptoms to exhibit their good fortune. They are pretending, however, because these devotional features are only external. The Prakrita Sahajiyas exhibit these symptoms to advertise their so-called advancement in love of Krishna. But instead of praising the Prakrita Sahajiyas for their symptoms of transcendental ecstasy, pure devotees do not like to associate with them. It is not advisable to equate the Prakrita Sahajiyas with pure devotees. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love of Krishna, he does not try to advertise himself. Instead, he endeavors more and more to render service to the Lord. The Prakrita Sahajiyas sometimes criticize pure devotees by calling them philosophers, learned scholars, knowers of the truth, or minute observers, but not devotees. On the other hand, they depict themselves as the most advanced, transcendently blissful, deeply absorbed in devotional service and mad to taste transcendental mellows. They also describe themselves as the most advanced devotees in spontaneous love, as knowers of transcendental mellows, as the topmost devotees in conjugal love of Krishna, and so on. Not actually knowing the transcendental nature of love of God, they accept their material emotions to be indicative of advancement. In this way, they pollute the process of devotional service. To try to become writers of Vaishnava literature, they introduce their material conceptions of life into pure devotional service. Because of their material conceptions, they advertise themselves as knowers of transcendental mellows, but they do not understand the transcendental nature of devotional service. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Daita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Is it Bhagavatam verse today? Aplutya Vabhritan Yatra Ganga Jamunayanvita Virojenatmana Sarve Swam Swang Dhamaya Yustata. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My dear Vidura, carrier of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath in the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna after completing the yajna performance. Such a bath is called avabhrita snan. After thus becoming purified in heart, they departed for their respective abodes. Translation of repetition. My dear Vidura, carrier of bows and arrows, all the demigods who were performing the sacrifice took their bath at the confluence of the Ganges and Jamuna after completing the yajna performance. Such a bath is called avabhrita snan. After thus becoming purified at heart, they departed for their respective abodes. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? After Lord Shiva and previously Daksha left the arena of sacrifice, the sacrifice was not stopped. The sages went on for many years in order to satisfy the Supreme Lord. The sacrifice was not destroyed for want of Siva and Daksha, and the sages went on with their activities. In other words, it may be assumed that if one does not worship the demigods even up to Lord Shiva and Brahma, one can nevertheless satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Kama ista ista hitagana prapadyante nya devataha. Persons who are impelled by lust and desires go to the devatas to derive some material benefit. Bhagavad Gita uses the very specific words nasti buddhi, meaning persons who have lost their sense or intelligence. Only such persons care for demigods and want to derive material benefit from them. Of course, this does not mean that one should not show respect to the demigods, but there's no need to worship them. One who is honest may be faithful to the government, but he does not need to bribe the government or a servant. Bribery is illegal. One does not bribe a government servant, but that does not mean that one does not show him respect. Similarly, one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Lord does not need to worship any demigod, nor does he have any tendency to show disrespect to the demigod. Elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita 9:23 it is stated, Yepyanya Devata Bhakta Yajante Sadayan Vitaha. The Lord says that anyone who worships the demigods is also worshipping Him, but he is worshipping Avidhi Purvakam, which means without following the regulative principles. The regulative principles is to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Worship of demigods can indirectly be worship of the Supreme Personality Godhead, but it is not regulated. By worshipping the Supreme Lord, one automatically serves all the demigods because they are parts and parcels of the whole. If one supplies water to the root of a tree, all the parts of the tree, such as the leaves and branches, are automatically satisfied. And if one supplies food to the stomach, all the limbs of the body, the hands, legs, fingers, etc., are nourished. Thus, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can satisfy all the demigods. But by worshipping all the demigods, one does not completely worship the Supreme Lord. Therefore, worship of the demigods is irregular, and it is disrespectful to the scriptural injunctions. In this age of Kali, it is practically impossible to perform the Deva Yajna or the sacrifices to the demigods. As such, in this age, Srimad Bhagavatam recommends Sankirtana Yajna. Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajanti Hi Sumeda Saha, Bhagavatam 11.5.32. In this age, the intelligent person completes the performance of all kinds of yajnas simply by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tasmin Tushte Jagat Tushta. When Lord Vishnu is satisfied, all the demigods who are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are satisfied. Tasmin tushte jagat tushta. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. The sacrifice was completed by the Devatas and they performed a bath at the Jamuna and the Ganga confluence. The Jamuna-Ganga confluence is known as Prayag. And it's a very sacred place where different pastimes of the Lord occur. Sacrifices were performed there, where Brahma performed the sacrifice there a long time ago. In the month of Damodar. And from that time, Damodar month became a very holy month for and dear to Lord Krishna, according to the Padma Purana. The Kumbh Mela, the Mohini Murti, she dropped some nectar outside this confluence from the pot. So once in 12 years and also after 6 years, the people gathered together and bathed there in a massive Kumbh Mela. Also, many every year in Magh month, there's a Magh Mela in the intermediate years. Last year there was the Kumbh Mela, and then this year is the Magh Mela. The month of Magh is also a special month. The month of Magh is the next month. There's the Damodar, then there's the Agrayan, and then Magh. I don't remember the Vaishnava name, but it's the second month after the month of Kartik or Damodar. That month it's recommended people be vegetarian also, and they can get some special blessings for doing spiritual activities in the month of Magha. So we were discussing recently in Mayapur, because we had the flood. We're discussing the glories of the Ganges. Because the Ganges is coming from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, it is worshipable by everyone. Even Lord Shiva, he took that water on his head. Lord Brahma carried it in his kamandalu. Here's the water pot. And everyone in the universe respects the Ganges. The Ganges comes down to the heavenly planets, and there it's known as Manasa Ganga. For a long time, the Ganges hadn't come down to this planet. But when the Sagars, Maharaja's descendants, were burned by Kapil Muni because of their offense to him, then their descendants tried to bring the Ganges down as a means of liberating them. Because if the Ganges water touches even the bones of someone, they immediately achieve a liberation of exalted birth. So, Bhagi Maharaj, he was successful in worshipping the Ganges, and the Ganges agreed to come down. So then the Ganges came and came from through the Himalayas down through the Prayag, where it mixed with the Jamuna and the Saraswati. It's also known as Triveni. There's an underground river called Saraswati. Recently, scientists have discovered that at this place, 2,000 feet below the surface of the earth, is a very big river. And the Vedas say that there was an underground river there. And that river, some water mixes also, so. But it's only visible two rivers. So it seems that even from the time when this happened, which is very long ago, this place was a holy place of pilgrimage. And the Devatas, they also came and bathed there. So this planet, we have holy places that are holy even for the residents of higher planets. Devatas live in a higher planet. But they came here, performing their yajna and bathing in the sacred waters. So her reading, the bike, hearing about the Ganges, by seeing the Ganges, touching the Ganges water, by drinking the Ganges water, or bathing, one gets all kinds of spiritual blessings and deliverance. In fact, that even if you're living far from the Ganges, you're taking water from a well or something. So while bathing, if you say, Ganga, Ganga, you can also get some of the benefit of bathing in the Ganges. In fact, scripture says, why are people anywhere in the world if they're feeling some contamination in their consciousness? All they have to do is say the two syllables, Ganga! Ganga!
Ganga!
And they get purified. So if somebody dies and you're taking the bones and ashes to the Ganges to put there, if on the way while you're carrying them, you die because of some accident or something, because you were carrying these bones to be taken to the Ganges, you go back to Garda. You know, sometimes devotees say, oh, we're going to carry these bones to the Ganges or something, you know, sometimes they don't feel so happy about having to carry people's ashes, maybe. But actually, such a sacred activity that even if you don't make it, you make it. So Ganges is so powerfully imbued by the Lord with mercy. Lord Chaitanya said that you want to spiritually advance in Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Bhagavat, he said that you have to respect the devotees of the Lord, the Bhagavatam, the Ganga. What was the fourth thing? I think the holy name. I'm not sure what the fourth thing. Mahaprasad. Or Tulsi. Tulsi, Ganga, Bhagavat. What is the other thing? And the devotees. Devotees of the Lord. So it's very important. The Gangas are very dear to Lord Krishna and very dear to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was glorified that Lord Krishna, he used to bathe in the Jamuna. And the Ganga just got the touch of Lord Vishnu's lotus foot. But the Ganga was satisfied by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya would every day bathe in her waters for a long time, for hours and hours together. So you could imagine how much ecstasy she was feeling. In fact, there's a history that one great devotee of the Ganges was doing his Gayatri Mantra. And while he was doing his Gayatri Mantra, then he said the water was coming up and up and up. It was going down and up and down. So what's going on here? You know, why is this happening? Look. And he saw there was this young boy, golden color, running by the side of the Ganges. As the boy walked a little bit away from the Ganges water would come up to keep touching his lotus feet. As he walked into the Ganges was going down. He said, what is this? This is very unique. Then saw the personified Ganges come out, the deity of the Ganges, come out of the water. She's beautiful, white, moonlight color, like moonlight. And she offered her obeisances to Lord Chaitanya in his child's form and prayed to him different prayers, glorify him, my Lord. And when that devotee of the Ganga, his whole life he's worshipping Ganges, he never saw the deity of the Ganges to come, actually the personality of the Ganga coming out. So immediately came out of the water, he offered his obeisances, then he saw the personality of Ganga go back into the Ganges. Then he went over and offered obeisance to Lord Gauranga and prayed to him that you are the master of the Ganga, that means you're Krishna himself. Please reveal yourself to me. And so then Lord Chaitanya showed his form as Krishna. Came back to Gauranga and told that devotee, you can remain here in Navadvip and see my pastimes on the condition you don't tell anybody who I am. Because I'm here in a special pastime, nobody should know. If you reveal this, then I will be forced to transfer you immediately back to the spiritual world. So Ganga was very fortunate and she was feeling so much separation when Lord Chaitanya left. So one time the ocean wanted to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya and the high tide flooded up to the Ganges. At that time, the Ganga was glorifying, the ocean was glorifying the Ganges that you are very fortunate because you are flowing in Navadvip and you're getting the association of Lord Chaitanya. But the Ganga then glorified the ocean that, no, you're fortunate, the Lord left me and he went and lived at Jagannath Puri and he was bathing in your waters every day. And the ocean said that that was only for some time, but he's eternally residing in Navadvip with you. Actually, this year we had the flood in Mayapur and nobody had predicted this flood. I had a feeling in my heart there would be a flood this year. But all the experts, they weren't predicting. And somehow on the Purnima day, a rare thing happened. That the high tide never reaches Mayapur, usually. And Mayapur is quite far from the ocean. There's a place at the edge of the Mayapur Dam, the Navadvip Dam, called Samudra Ghara, where historically the ocean came on rare occasions. But this time, the tide, you could see the river was not moving. There was no current. The high tide had come right up to Navadvip Dam, maybe the Samudra Ghara to somewhere, but come up, so that the effect was there was no current. And there was a huge backup of water and there was flood everywhere. But there was no current on that particular days, just before the day of the full moon and a few days before. So we could see that in the pastime going on, of course the result, if the ocean comes up, the tide comes up, and there's the high river, you get the situation of flood, which is what we had, 6 feet of water, 1-2 meters of water in the ashram everywhere, 20 kilometers all around was flooded. Our pujari said this was a special mercy of the Ganges to purify the any accumulated sins that had been left by people of the Dham. Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when the holy boat of Lord Chaitanya floods, it's an indication that the devotees around the world need to flood the world with Krishna consciousness. And from the holy dam, that flood of mercy will expand all over the world. So now it's very important that everybody should take the cue from Lord Chaitanya, especially on the eve of Prabhupada's centennial. And we really work out programs for observing the centennial enthusiastically. In 1996, we need to flood the whole world with the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the glories of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. And the Ganges are so merciful. Even the devatas, they're bathing, and they said they're feeling, they're becoming purified in the heart after the sacrifice and the final bath. There's a history how there was one devotee called Dharmaswadas. And Dharmaswa, he was a great devotee of the Ganga, and he used to go down to the Ganges and worship her, take his bath. So one time he went down and he was such worshipping, and take the water of Ganga and you offer prayer and you offer it back to the Ganga. What more pure thing is there to offer to her than her own water? You can also offer arti and incense and flowers and things. So, as a devotee, as a Vaishnava, worshipping devatas or demigods as devotees of Vishnu is not contradictory. That's the actual scriptural injunction. But when you worship them as independent, without reference to their relationship as a devotee of Krishna, then it's like trying to bribe them. And it's not a completely authorized way of doing it. Actually, traditionally you'll find that any worship, this is being taped for audio, that this is that the system for worshipping used to be they have a Shaligram Shila, worship the Shaligram Shila, then offer the prasadam to the demigod. And that's the system that Lord Chaitanya established in Lingaraj in Bhubaneswar, that all the prasadam of Ananta Vasudeva, deity of Krishna, not different from Lord Jagannath, next to the Lingaraj. That it was offered to Lingaraj, Shiva deity. And that prasadam the devotees can take, just like Jagannath Puri Mahaprasad is all offered to Vimala Devi, which is a form of Durga. And we all accept that. Because a Vaishnavi, if she takes Krishna Prasad, we can take the remnants from her plate. It's no problem. It's very purifying for ourselves. And that's how they want to be worshipped, as devotees. When people just independently worship them without their reference to their relationship with Vishnu, then that's the problem. So it's not that the devatas or demigods are not highly placed devotees or not worthy of our respect. It's like you respect the President of the United States decided to come here, certainly we would offer him all respect and a welcome and everything as a person who's representing the Lord's controlling power for one country, protecting power. That's a distinguished personality. So what to speak of some great devatas came here, certainly we would offer them all respect. We shouldn't criticize devatas. We shouldn't show them any disrespect. And even if people do worship them, we know, well, they're being worshipped not in the right way. We can either train them to worship in the right way, or at least Krishna also said that indirectly they're worshipping only him by worshipping his government servants. It's not the best way. It's not the direct way, but indirectly they're worshipping. So even the devatas, they were bathing in the Ganga. So the Ganga is so sacred. So the Dharmashtra, he was a brahmana, devotee, and he would go and he bathed there and worshipped the Ganga. And then he took a water pot of water back with him. And meanwhile, in this particular kingdom, there was one brahmana who was very fallen. He was a very sinful person. By birth he was brahmana, but he was a Naradhamma, lowest of mankind. He was an atheist. He would do so many sinful things in his life. He was just a cruel person that did so many bad karmas. He would exploit people, cheat everybody, but somehow he had the favor of the king because he was bluffing and flattering him, and he got some big position. But actually he was doing all rascal things, all nonsense, really horrible things. So there was some bull on the ground that was supposed to be was getting in his way or something. It was lying there on the ground, wasn't doing what it was supposed to. So this sinful person's name was Kala Kalpa. He took a stick and he just started beating the bull. Get out of here. Good moving, whatever. Well, the bull was, you know, a little lazy in the hot sun, but after getting beaten a few times, after all, he was a bull and he got fired up. So he charged that Kala Kalpa and he got a gored him right with his horn right in the heart and ripped his chest open, and Kala Kalpa died. So Kala Kalpa's dead body was laying on the ground with the chest ripped open. And Dharmasa was going by and say, here's, you know, dead Brahmana. He had the water pot of Ganges water. He took the Ganges water and just had a tulsi, prasadam tulsi behind his ear. Took that and sprinkled it over his body. And he went on. Kind of unconsciously, oh, here's someone just died, all right. God bless you. As he was going, after a little while, then he saw that he had some kind of special vision. He was a very elevated person. Now he could see Yamadutas, messengers of death. But they were wounded, bleeding, battered. Some were, had the arms cut off. Some were, legs were cut, their living being held. Some dead bodies were being carried by. It's like, what happened, you know? What happened to all you people? And they said, we really got the reaction for our offenses. What do you mean? What happened? They said, well, this Kala Kalpa, he was a very big sinner. And so Yamaraj, as soon as he died, he sent out huge thousands of us. You go and get him, bring him back. We're going to take care of this guy now. And send him to the right hell. So we all went in mass. We're going to get him and drag him back. But in the meantime, then you went and sprinkled him with Ganges water. So when we got there, the Vishnu Dutas had beat us to it. There were these, we didn't know who these personalities were, but there were some very beautiful people with forearms, shankar, conch shell and clubs and things, and chakras. And we said, what are you doing with that sinful person? And they say, well, we're taking him. How can you take him? I mean, what kind of justice is it? How can you take him to the kingdom of God? This person, he was a rapist. He was a thief. He invited some friend to his house and then mercilessly killed him, stole his money, chopped his body in little pieces and threw it in some, you know, buried a body. He had widows that he got pregnant and had them have abortions to get so they wouldn't be revealed. I mean, this person has done so many sinful things. He belongs to us. You know, you should come with us. We're going to toast this guy. And the Vishuddhuta said, well, everything you said is true. He did all these horrible things, but he was sprinkled with the holy water of the Ganges. And therefore, by that activity, he became very dear to the Lord. And he got purified from all the sins. But the Yamadutas, they were just so passionate at that time. They said, what do you mean? Just by sprinkling a little Ganga water, he got purified from all those sins? You had to give him to us. This is ridiculous. Or something like they started, you know. And the Vishnudutas, they got really, you are supposed to be messengers of Dharma, and you are criticizing and doubting the Shastra. Nothing is existing in this world, in the realm of Dharma, that's not given in the scripture. And the scriptures are saying that by chanting the holy name or by touch of the Ganga water, you get purified from all these sins. But you're doubting the scripture, but you're supposed to be messengers of Dharma. Therefore, you are not actually messengers of Dharma. You are atheists, and you are offenders. And since you are offended, you're a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, you are subject to punishment. And you are also daring to come and attack us. Therefore, now you will get your just due. Suddarshan Chakra! Cut! And the Sudarshans came. They started chopping up the Yamadutas, and they're running. And they're getting attacked by all the weapons of Vishnu Dutas. And so that's why they're, so many got killed. They're all running and... And those who had survived, they were lamenting, we really blew it. So when Dharmashwa realized these things, immediately he turned back and went back to the Ganga. And offered his obeisances and started worshipping again. Because maybe, it wasn't taking, he's doing it, but now he really could see that how wonderful, how great the Ganges is, how purifying. So he started to worship, and the Ganga blessed him, and she came and appeared before him in her deity, in her personified, her personal form. Beautiful, moon-like form. What does she carry? She carries a conch shell and a lotus, maybe? Can't remember. One is the conch, and then another. She has her own, lotus, but I'm not 100% sure. And she rides on a crocodile mount. There are crocodiles in the Ganges. You don't see them much where we are, thank Krishna. When I first came there, I heard about there was the flood in one northern part of the Ganges, and it washed down some crocodiles. And some man had come for taking his bath before the wedding ceremony, and he got eaten by a crocodile. So the whole bride was waiting there, everything, to get married, and then the bridegroom was not able to come. He was occupied with dinner. So, but after that we never heard about, so far we haven't. But there are Gangetic crocodiles in some, and they are in the Sundarbans also. So anyway, that's the mount of the Ganga. So she appeared before her devotee and he offered his obeisances, and she said, "I'm very pleased with your worship and you can ask me what you want. What boon do you want?" And he said that, "I simply want to be able to have the blessing that I can, when I leave my body, I can be touching your holy waters and chanting the holy names. And I can always be fixed in the pure devotional service." So Ganges is a really great devotee of the Lord, and she's very merciful and she's very powerful. So even here the devas, they're taking advantage of, they're doing their final bath in the holy Ganges. We don't know how much mercy Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda sent to us, and how Prabhupada has brought Krishna consciousness to the West and all over the world. We cannot imagine how much mercy actually we receiving. And like the Yamadutas, we might sometime underestimate it or even doubt. There's so much mercy. If we just took advantage of the mercy in this one short lifetime, if we focused our energy on actually being Krishna conscious, by Lord Nityananda Gaurachandra's mercy, we could achieve that in one lifetime. Or even if we don't achieve, we'll be very much advanced in the path. Even by trying, one may not be 100% there, but if you really try, with the Lord's mercy, even if some demon like the Kalakalpa, he was taken back to the spiritual world, He didn't do anything, but he just got a little water sprinkled on it. So if we really try to be Krishna conscious, even though we may not be all that successful, but if we just keep trying our level best and trying to keep on improving, there's every hope that we can get the mercy of Krishna. He's very merciful. We cannot underestimate the mercy of Gaura Nithai. So we read in the Shikshastika how the chanting the holy names of the Lord brings all good fortune. Sometimes we don't get the taste because we're committing offenses. We doubt the glories of the Lord. We offend the devotees, we offend the deities, we offend the holy books and things. Some for different offenses that we commit, that makes us not be able to taste the nectar of the chanting. Otherwise we could. So, all glories to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Ganga! Ganga! Ki? Jamuna! Ki jai? Sisi Nitai Gaura Chandra ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Any question? Yes? Jay? Presume so. They can mention that, they both go. Because of the Ganges flood, we were looking at different Puranas, but more glorious of the Ganges. So it was kind of quick to remember everything. But there's a lot of glories about the Ganges we found in the Padma Purana, and about Tulasi, and about the Kadasis. Any other question?
How were you able to
Things change into a different mode. Because when it floods, it's not like just Mayapur ISKCON is flooded, but the whole region is flooded. And thousands of our neighboring villagers, they all become homeless or affected, they lose all their crops. Many people, their houses are filled with water, so they don't have the big buildings we have. We just go upstairs. But they're homeless. So they come on the top of the national highways or the interstates or whatever you want to call them. They had to go in the school building. So we go into a relief mode. We had 8 different teams going out giving food and relief, and one charitable organization from Calcutta, Nagarik Swastya Sangha, came out about near the end of our effort. But they brought 4 medical teams, which was interesting, and we gave out more food and medicine from those 4 teams. Plus, so we had 8 teams giving prasadam, 4 of which were also giving medicine and treatment. So a lot of people were sick from fever, cold, cuts. And I was not... we know that primarily you give Krishna prasadam that serves the soul and the body, so it's a total. But when there's a big crisis like that, and Prabhupada said anyone within 10 miles of the temple shouldn't go hungry, father would have the child go hungry, then I got like a realization, well, if you're real sick, the father wouldn't let you go sick either. At least in a major thing like this, if there's some organizations that I can, that were set up to do that, we could bring them in contact with the places we know which were the affected places. We had boats that were going. So we'd take them by boat. And some places which were accessible by road by that time, where people were still like refugees taking shelter, but their houses were in lower areas. So we sent one ambulance came. We sent the ambulance there. So the local people were really appreciating that we were doing a major help for them. And that and I saw like one girl had a polio. She was being carried by her mother. Both her legs were polio. She couldn't walk. And she somehow must have been cooking or cutting or something, and somehow half her thumb had been cut off. And it was infected and everything. So they brought them over to the doctor, and the doctor did the first aid and gave a tetanus injection and this and that. So we could really see that. She probably would die. And there was no way that she could get to a doctor. So always flood everywhere. So it was a major kind of a help we could do at that time. And we want to provide some comprehensive service for the area around our temple that Prabhupada mentioned, basically Navadvip Dham. That the Dham Vasis, if they're hungry, they get prasadam. And at least we can give them, you know, some first aid or some basic thing. If it's, I think we're going to be building hundreds of millions of dollars of development there, and if the local people are just dying, you know, of the disease or starvation, it's not going to be a very favorable climate to do this in. And if we serve them, even, you know, actually the medical help is not very much. I mean, we're not giving open heart surgeries, no, just basic first aid. It's not very expensive, and plenty of people give them medicine. Doctors come out and give the time. It's a matter of coordinating other people to do it. So to be relevant to the people in our around our temple, and to until every place we went, we announced that whatever the aid is being given here, this is being sent to you because we're a Krishna temple, Krishna is God, and God is everyone's father. He wants to see that his children are taken care of. Therefore, we're coming and giving you this prasadam and giving you this aid, first aid, in the name of Krishna. And people could appreciate that. So we also got letters from the government, letters from the different village leaders appreciating the help we gave. So in that sense, it was, we were able to mobilize. The devotees couldn't do anything else. Couldn't do sankirtan, couldn't do gardening.